Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
November the 1st, Melachim Beis, we're up to Perek Yud Aleph, chapter 11. Yehu has taken over the northern kingdom, and he's also wiped out not just the house of Achav, but most of the house of Malchus based David as well, including the king Achazio. So the pasuk starts, Asalya em Achazyohu. Asalya, the mother of Achazyohu. Asalya was from Achav's family, and she was the mother of Achazyohu. Ra'asa ki meis b'na. She saw that her son was dead. Vatakam, so she got up. Vate'abed es kol zera hamamlacha. And she destroyed, she wiped out the rest of all of the descendants, all the seed of the kingdom. And she took all the descendants of David HaMelech and killed them. Now one can ask how it's possible for her to have been able to do that. Wouldn't that have been stopped? We'll talk about that in a moment. Vatikach Yehosheva Bas HaMelech Yoram. So Yehosheva, who is a tzadekes, I don't know of anybody named Yehosheva, but she's a special woman who you would have thought, based on the story, that we would be proud to name a daughter for. So Yehosheva, the daughter of the king Yoram, took, well before you say, she Achos Achazyohu, she was the sister of Achazyohu, she took as Yoash ben Achazya. She took Yoash, the son of Achazya, he was a year old, Batignov Oso Mitoch Bnei HaMelech Hamumasim. And she stole him from amongst the children of the king who were killed. Oso him, Vesmenikdo, and his wet nurse, Vachadar Hamitos. Now, she stole here means that she hid. She hid him and his wet nurse in the Chadar Hamitos, in the room of, literally means the room of the beds. And they hid him because of Asalyo, and he was not killed. And he was with her, meaning with his wet nurse in the house of Hashem, mischabe, in hiding, 6 years. And Asalyo was ruling over the land. Asalyo took over, because there was no descendant of David HaMelech that was available. And she therefore became by default the queen, and she was a Rasha. She encouraged Avodah Zarah, as we'll see later, and he is in hiding. The Beis Hamitos, Chazal tell us, refers to the only place on earth where Asalya would not look for him, because she didn't want there to be anybody left from David Melech's descendants, and that was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, where we know that the Kodesh HaKadoshim is a place that no one is allowed to walk into except for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And if someone does, there is the threat of death. And she hid, this is with the Kohen Gadol, Yehoyada, who we will be introduced to in a minute, she hid him there with his wet nurse for 6 years, which means that for 6 years, Yoash or Yehoash, who is the rightful king, is the heir to the throne, is in hiding in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He does not emerge for 6 years, stays there. That means he eats there. That means that he and his wet nurse, they eat there. They go through whatever bodily needs they have there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, some understand that the Beis Hamitos is a room above the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There were two floors. And it could be that as well, but the room above the Kodesh HaKadoshim had the same Kedusha, or very close to the same Kedusha, as the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself. So even if you say it was upstairs, it still means that they were living in this place for 6 years. If they were in the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, which is the simple meaning of the term, then it would mean the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, when he went in, would not be alone. There would be a young child and his wenders in the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
How was there room for them?
Why not?
There was barely room for him.
Why? No, there's room.
Okay.
There's room. No, just it was a nace. How anything? How everything?
Yeah,
but it was,
how everything fit in there.
Yeah. So the why would is it mutter to do this? Because it is not one of the cardinal sins to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's not avodah zara. It's not gilei arayis. It's not immorality. It's not ritzicha. It's not murder. So it doesn't say you have to be killed rather than go in there. So if a person is under the threat of death, a person is allowed to run into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is what they did. And that's where they stayed for 6 years. And this is an unbelievable thing. And it saved Yehoash's life. And it saved the line of Malchus based David. Because whereas the line of David HaMelech would have been wiped out, there was nobody left but Yehoash. This served to save the line of the king, which means that Mashiach ben David, for whom we are waiting, is a descendant of Yehoash, because that's where the line goes through. And had Yehoash been killed, there would be no way to have Mashiach. Obviously, Hashem would have had to do something about that, but whatever it is, certainly, b'derech hateva, in the normal scheme of things, there would not have been able to be a Mashiach had Yehoash been killed. So it is through hiding in the Kodesh HaKadoshim that we have this line. However, we will find, not this evening, but when we come back to the story, we will find that there is fallout from his having been in the Kodesh HaKadoshim for 6 years, which will in the end be his undoing. But for the time being, it is a very positive thing that it saved his life. And his aunt Yehosheva was the one who rescued him, who pulled him out of there, a year old child who pulled him out and hid him, pulled him out quietly, surreptitiously, and was able to hide him so he should not be killed. The pasuk says that she took him out from amongst the children of the king. This is in pasuk Beis, verse 2. Hamumasim, that were killed. However, you notice there's an extra vav in that word, which is not pronounced. If one would read it the way it's spelled, instead of mumasim, it would be mimusim. Hamimusim means that were being killed. Hamumasim means that were killed. It's the difference between present and past tense. We have it in the past tense that she saved him from amongst the descendants of the king that had been killed, past tense. But in the way it's spelled, it would be she saved him from among the children, the seed of the king that were being killed. So from this, Rashi explains in Divrei Hayamim, in Chronicles, he explains that how did she manage to kill them? She did it with poison. It was not that she killed them by the sword. She poisoned the descendants of the king. She had access to the kitchen. She had access to the food. And she poisoned them. And as Rashi explains, it was therefore a slow death, because poison is not necessarily an instantaneous thing. It was a slow death. Rashi says they went through great yisurin, great suffering, and they were killed slowly. And that's what it means. They were being killed. They were dead. It was a process. So Yehosheva realized what was happening and managed to save Yehoash. Was Yehoash poisoned at all? I don't know. Could be that he did ingest some poison. It's possible. But whatever it is, Yehosheva recognized the danger and got him out of there. Now, it could also be that because he was still nursing, that he was not able to be poisoned, and that's why she was able to get him out of there before his grandmother got to him, which is what would have happened. A one-year-old baby doesn't have to be poisoned. A one-year-old baby is easy to kill. So I don't know exactly what Asaliah's plan was, but Yehosheva got him out of there before it happened. Asaliah knows that Yehoash is missing. She doesn't know what happened to him, but he doesn't turn up. So she presumes that he's gone. She searches the country for him, does not find him, and therefore she presumes that he is gone. She certainly has no idea that he is in hiding in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and in the end, it will be a shock to her 6 years later when he emerges. If you think about people who Nebuch were in hiding during the Holocaust for several years, and you consider that situation, for fear of death, they were in hiding. Some were in very, very cramped quarters. Others were in less cramped quarters. But there, we find the concept not so long ago of people who had to hide for several years. 6 years is a very long time to be cooped up in one room, even if it's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's a tough pill to swallow. But that saved Yehoash's life. Yeah.
You know, I know you said that she looked for him and he was missing and she just assumed that he was gone, but there's two people missing.
Yeah, the wet nurse also. Yeah, but I don't know if the wet nurse was a player. Like, she was just somebody. She could have just melted into the...
Wouldn't there be more suspicions if the one who's caring for him has gone with him?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but where? But she can't find them. So, you know. But who knows? The wet nurse could have been anybody. You know, it didn't. She doesn't have a name here. Like, it's not like Yehosheva gets a name, right? So, yeah. Whatever it is, she couldn't find them. 6 years is a long time. So I guess you assume the person is dead or gone, you know, another country. Maybe they went off to whatever, you know, to another, they're hiding out in Mitzrayim or something.
And then during this time, the daughter's like just...
Doesn't say anything about her. You mean Yehosheva?
Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't say anything about her.
All we know about her is that she saved his life and that's it.
Yeah, that's all we know. That's all we know.
How can this woman kill her children and grandchildren?
Yeah.
She's now, a Russia.
Yeah, she's definitely a Russia.
Even as a Russia, how can you even fathom killing her family?
If you look at all the kings of Europe, they did it all the time. They killed everybody in their own family. They killed their own parents to get power.
And his siblings.
Power corrupts. Yeah.
She was also a Russian. History.
Okay, so, but that's what happened. So now the Pasuk tells us, and the Pasuk jumps ahead 6 years. We don't get, other than we'll see in retrospect what happened during these 6 years, but we don't get a detailed description of the 6 years. You can understand that it was not a pleasant time for the Jewish people. Pasuk Daled, verse 4, Uvashana Shvius, and in the seventh year, Shalach Yehoyada. Now, Yehoyada, we have not been introduced to. He is the Kohen Gadol. In Divrei Hayamim, the Pasuk tells us that there is more information about Yehosheva. Excuse me. Let me read you the Pasuk. This is actually very significant. Sorry, I forgot about this. I'll read it to you how it says it in Divrei Hayamim. This is in Divrei Hayamim Beis, Chaf Beis 22, Yod Aleph 11. Vatikach Yehoshavas, a little bit different spelling. Which you find that sometimes the spelling is slightly different. Yehosheva, Yehoshavas. Bas Hamelech, the daughter of the king, she took Es Yoash ben Achazyahu, Yoash the son of Achazyahu, Vatignovo Somitoch ben Hamelech Hamumasim, same phrase that we have. She stole him away from amongst the kids, the children were being killed. Vatidino So, and she put him Esme Nikto and his wet nurse, Bachadar Amitos, in the room of the beds, which is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's because the Pasuk says that Bein Shada Yolin, the Pasuk says about the Shechina, that it rests in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So since the Shekhinah rests in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kodesh HaKadoshim is called the Chadar HaMitos, the room of the beds, where the Shekhinah rests, whatever that means. So she took him, she put him in there, Batisterehu, and she hid him. Now who hid him? Now listen carefully. Yehoshavas, Bas HaMelech Yehoram, Yehoshavas, the daughter of the king Yehoram, Eishes Yehoyada HaKohen. She was the wife of the Kohen Gadol. So she was Tzadekes, the wife of the Kohen Gadol. Kihi Aisa Achos Achazyahu. She was the sister of Achazyahu, and she hid him mipnei Asalyahu from before Asalyahu. V'lo hem misasuhu, and she was unable to kill him.
That makes sense.
Why she's trying to hide him. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm sorry. I knew this. Okay. So Yehosheva or Yehoshavas is the wife of the Kohen Gadol. Now this Kohen Gadol, Yehoyada, the Kohen Gadol, is not just the Kohen Gadol. Remember that. We know that I've said this to you many times, that there are Shlosha Ksarim, the three crowns, the Mishnah tells us. There is Keser Torah, Keser Kuhuna, and Keser Malchus. The crown of Torah, crown of Kuhuna, and the crown of royalty. So the Keser Malchus is obviously the king. The Keser Kuhuna, the crown of Kuhuna, is the Kohen Gadol. What's the Keser Torah? The Keser Torah is the recognized greatest Talmud Chacham of the generation. And depending on the generation, the Rambam lists, he counts from Moshe Rabbeinu 40 generations all the way down to the end of the Gemara, listing who wore the crown of Torah. It's not a physical crown. It's a conceptual crown. But he lists who wore the crown of Torah, who was the recognized Gadol. Obviously, after Moshe, it was Yehoshua. That's obvious. But as you go on, it's not always so explicit in the Navi who it was, but there was always somebody recognized as the one in charge of Torah as you go through the generations. In the time of the Mishnayos, it was Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the one who redacted the Mishnayos. He wore the crown of Torah. So the crown of Torah is not, we know that the crown of Malchus has to be a descendant of David HaMelech. The crown of Kohen has to be a descendant of Aaron. The crown of Torah could be worn by anybody. It is not limited to a specific family. And even someone who doesn't have such great yichus, doesn't have such great lineage, could wear the crown of Torah. If he becomes a big Talmud Chacham, could wear the crown of Torah. You do find at times that the king or the Kohen Gadol also was the Keser Torah simultaneously. It can't both be the Keser Malchus and the Keser Kohuna. Those are two separate families, so you can't have them both in the same person. But Torah could be worn theoretically by the same person as who's also wearing one of the other crowns. David HaMelech is a good example. He wore the Keser Torah, and he was also the king. That's not unusual. Also, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, we haven't gotten to him yet. He also wore the Keser Torah, along with being the king. Yehoyada, the Kohen Gadol, also wore the Keser Torah. He was also the greatest Talmud Chacham of his generation. So he was the greatest Talmud Chacham of his generation. He was also the Kohen Gadol. And the truth is that we won't see this tonight, but once we're on the subject, I'll mention to you that once Asalia is successfully removed, and the young Yehoash takes over, Yehoyada the Kohen Gadol is really the one who is advising Yehoash. Yehoash is constantly asking Yehoyada the Kohen Gadol what he should do, how he should behave, etc. So although Yehoyada the Kohen Gadol was not the Melech, but he had a very, very, very strong and powerful role in the running of the country. So Yehoyada Kohen Gadol is in certain ways he has everything all together in one place. That is, in certain ways, that is the case. Yeah.
Now I'm baffled even more, because if she knows that everyone's being poisoned, her husband is a Kohen Gadol who can bring justice and judgment because he's also the greatest Talmud Chacham, why do they let
it's
this woman
late.
Rule for all that
it's
time?
It's too late. He doesn't have any power to stop her yet. You'll see right now he's going to have a successful coup, but he has to arrange it. She manages to get the army on her side. But the poisoning, I don't think anybody realized what was happening until it was too late. They were all done.
Even after the fact, she couldn't be brought to justice?
Apparently not. Apparently she got the, she's from the royal house and she had sway. There was no one else.
And she had the army.
She had the army. I mean, it's going to happen eventually. Okay, so the Pasuk tells us that in the seventh year, Pasuk Dal, verse 4, Shalach Yehoyada, Yehoyada sent, Vayikach es Sarei Hameos, and he took the officers of hundreds, which means those officers that were appointed over 100 other people. Now, officers of what? Lakari Vilaratzim, for the Kari are the strong ones, the powerful ones, the soldiers. Villa Ratzim, and the runners. These were the strong and swift soldiers. He took the officers, not all of them. He took the ones that he trusted. Vayave Osame Love Beis Hashem. He brought them to him in the Beis HaMikdash. So he quietly called a meeting of certain members of the army, certain officers. Vayichros Lahem Bris. He made a covenant with them. Vayashba Osam Bives Hashem. He made them take an oath in the Beis HaMikdash. An oath taken in the Beis HaMikdash is more powerful than an oath taken outside the Beis HaMikdash. and he made them swear that they would not betray anything that he would say, that he would, they would keep quiet, and they would do as they were told. And then Vayar Osam es ben Hamelech, he showed them the son of the king. The first people to lay eyes on the king for the past 6 years, other than the wet nurse who's with him, and Yehoyada the Kohen Gadol, because he goes in there on Yom Kippur. And of course, they have to bring food daily. Food has to be dropped off for the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But Yehoyada the Kohen Gadol is doing this along with his wife, with Yehosheva. They're quietly taking care of the king and his wet nurse, but nobody knows the king even exists. And now he takes this select group of officers, he makes them swear, he cuts a covenant with them, and then he shows them the king. It's a shocking sight that there's the king is alive. There's a king here. Pasuk 8, verse 5, Vayitzaveim lemor, he commanded them saying, Zeh hadavar shata'asun, this is what you will do. Now he's going to divide them into three parts. Hashlishis mikem, a third of you, Ba'e HaShabbos, V'shomer Mishmeres Beis HaMelech. The ones who come for Shabbos, and those who guard the house of the king, the palace. So what he does is like this. He's taking these soldiers, and they are going to gather, as we'll see later, their trusted soldiers, which is not all the soldiers, the ones who they knew would be faithful and loyal to them. And Yehoyada is dividing up into three parts, and he's also pressing into service the Kohanim and the Levim who happened to be on duty at that time. Now remember, both the Kohanim and the Levim are divided up into 24 mishmaros, 24 shifts. They work for a week, once every 24 weeks. They work in the Beis HaMikdash once every 24 weeks. The mishmaros, the shifts, change on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you have a mishmar ha-nichnas, v'ha-mishmar ha-yotzei. You have one mishmar, one shift coming in, and one mishmar leaving. They divide up the lechem ha-panim. The showbread, which are the 12 loaves, are divided between the one that's coming in and the one that's coming out. There's two opinions in the Gemara, whether divided equally or not. But at any rate, that's what happens. And then, so Friday, the new mishmar comes to the Beis HaMikdash, but they don't actually do work yet until the next day. And then in the middle of Shabbos, they switch who does the work. And then Motzai Shabbos, the last week's mishmar leaves. So it's your time to work. You're in the Beis HaMikdash from Friday for a week until Motzai Shabbos Sunday. That's your once every 24 weeks. So on Shabbos, you have both shifts there. So what Yehoyada Kohen Gadol did, he needed as much manpower as he could get. So he wanted not one shift of Kohanim and Levim, he wanted two shifts. But he couldn't just call them all in, it would raise suspicion. So he does this on Shabbos, where he's got two different shifts here simultaneously, and he can then bring them all into his confidence and work with all of them. So he's got more manpower. So the Ba'i HaShabbos mentioned in this pasuk are the new shift, the ones that are coming for Shabbos. That's the new shift. So he took the new shift of both Kohanim and Levim, along with a third of the faithful soldiers, and this is what he tells the officers, and they will be in charge of guarding the palace. Meaning, they're going to be in the Beis HaMikdash, but the Beis HaMikdash is adjacent to the palace. I don't know if you remember, when we learned about Shlomo HaMelech building his palace, he built it adjacent to Har HaBayis, adjacent to the Temple Mount. So they are going to be on the... I'm pretty sure, that the palace was to the north of the Beis HaMikdash. The main entrance into the Beis HaMikdash is from the east, but there are all kinds of gates all around the Beis HaMikdash. So if you're on the east facing west, if that's the direction you're looking, which right now that is where I am, right? If this is east, that's where. So then your north is to your right. That's where this first of the three groups would be guarding the right side, the north side of the Beis HaMikdash. north is usually left, because usually you're facing east from the west. But okay. But at any rate, that's where they and the incoming Kohanim Levim, that's where they would be. Vashlishis, Pasuk Vav, this verse 6, Vashlishis, and now this doesn't mean the third group. It means the second third of officers and soldiers. Bishar Sur would be in the Sur gate. The Sur gate is the eastern gate. It's called the Shar Sur. Sur means move away, like Suru, move away. It's called Shar Sur because when you're coming from the east, which was the most common entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, that was the final point that if you were not fully Tahar, you could not cross that threshold. So it's called Shar Sur. This is where you have to move away from if you're not fully Tahar. So the second of the three groups would be stationed there. Vashlishis, and the third of the third groups, Bishar Achar HaRatzim, on the gate that was behind the runners, which means that gate, which was on the south side of the Beis HaMikdash, was another area there where the runners apparently were housed, meaning that it was an area of soldiers over there on that side of the Beis HaMikdash. It was a place for the ruts and for the runners.
Like a barracks?
I guess so. Something like that. Now that couldn't be on the Har Habayis, but in that direction there was that. Ushmartem es mishmeres Habayis masach. And he's talking to the officers. He tells them, you will guard the Beis HaMikdash masach. Now the word sach comes from the word, if you know the phrase, hesach hadas. Hesach hadas means to stop paying attention. To be masiach das from something means to forget about it. The opposite of hesach hadas is simas lev, putting your heart to something, not losing focus. He says, you will guard the Beis HaMikdash masach without losing focus. You are going to be completely and totally focused on guarding the Beis HaMikdash when this process begins. Now, Ushtei Hayados Bachem, the two groups of you, meaning the two groups, the ones that are in the eastern gate and the ones that are on the south, that are where the runners are, Kol Yotzei HaShabbos, with them will also be those who are leaving for Shabbos. See, the first group, the group that was going to be on the north side, which was towards the palace, they would have with them the incoming shifts of Kohanim and Levim. The other two groups, the ones on the east and the south, would have the outgoing groups of Kohanim and Levim. Vishamru es mishmeres beis Hashem el hamelech, and they will guard the guarding of the Beis HaMikdash to the king, on behalf of the king. So you have, if you think about it, a little bit more manpower on the side that faces the palace than the other two sides. That's going to be the one that's where the real focus is going to be. The real drama is going to take place on the side facing the palace. The other two are there really to prevent anybody from getting into the Beis HaMikdash to disrupt what's going on. But on the side facing the palace, that's where you're going to have the real drama. So there you have the incoming Kohanim and Levim are going to be over there, whereas the outgoing Kohanim and Levim are split between two different areas. So you see there's a few extra people on the side facing the palace. Pasuk Ches, verse 8. V'kaftem al ha-melech saviv, you will surround the king completely. Ish mechelav biyado, each man with his weapons. Now they don't have any weapons yet. That Yehoyada is going to take care of, as you'll see. V'habo el ha-steros, you must. Anybody who comes to this steros, Rashi struggles with this word steros, exactly what it means, but it means who comes close to the area where you are, you will kill them. Anybody who gets too close, you kill them. You kill first, you shoot first, ask questions later. There's no, we're not playing games over here. If somebody gets too close, you kill them. And you will be with the king when he goes out and when he comes in. You know, you're going to stick to the king Absolutely. The king is never going to be without a full guard. Pasuk test verse 9. So the officers did exactly what Yoyada Kohen told them. Each man took his men and those who were the incoming groups of Kohanim Levim, im yotzei hashabbos, with the outgoing group of Kohanim Levim, vayavo al Yoyada Kohen, and they all came to Yoyada. So now that they're ready to actually make this happen, now this is actually on Shabbos itself, they all come, which now Jesus is going to raise suspicion because a lot of people now. This is no longer a secret. So they all now, at the prearranged time, they all gather to Yoyada HaKohen. Vayitin HaKohen l'sari ameos es hachanis ves hashalatim. And the Kohen Gadol, the Yoyada, gave to the officers the swords and the shields. Asher HaMelech David, Asher Beves Hashem. That had belonged to the King David, that were in the Beis HaMikdash. Way back when we learned that there were weapons that were placed in the Beis HaMikdash, which at the time we didn't understand what the point of that was. And we had said that there's a certain kavod that you have in just, even if it's not being used for fighting, but there's a certain kavod to the place. And you have guards, even though they're not really guarding against much. You have that sort of power. So, but here, Yoyada the Kohen Gadol takes these weapons and gives them to the officers.
Did he have Ruach HaKodesh to do this?
I don't know. Well, we'll talk about David HaMelech presently, that he did foresee some of this.
You said that the palace was to the north side.
I'm pretty sure.
But then you said that the people at the gate and the guards are on the south and east side.
Those are the second two groups. There were three groups.
But you said that the old Kohanim were those groups.
Right.
So there'd be three different groups there. So that's not the side.
No, but the incoming Kohanim and Levim were on the north side.
So you have two groups on the north side and then three groups on the other sides?
Right, right. So you have fewer people on the other two sides. Yud Aleph 11. Vayamdu aratzim ish vechelav biyado. So the ratzim, these are the fast soldiers, they stood with their weapons. Mikesef habayis hayamanis and kesef habayis hasmalis, from the edge of the Beis HaMikdash on the right to the edge of the Beis HaMikdash on the left, all the way around. Lamizbeach v'labayis, from the Mizbeach and in, meaning they surrounded the Beis HaMikdash from the Mizbeach and in and towards the middle. Alamelech Saviv, all around the king, surrounding the king. And when that was ready, when they were all armed and stationed, which they did very quickly, then Vayotzi es ben Hamelech, so Yoyada Kohen Gadol took out the son of the king. Vayitein alav es hanezer, he put on him the crown, ves ha'edus, and the edus. The edus means the testimony. The simple meaning is, this is the Sefer Torah that the Kohen Gadol has to always carry. So he put a crown on his head, handed him the Sefer Torah. Vayamlichu oso, they pronounced him as king. Vayim shachu, and they anointed him with oil. Vayaku chaf, they clapped their hands. Vayomer, and they announced, Yechi HaMelech, may the king live. Long live the king. They made a ruckus. They wanted this to be public. Everybody should know that the king has emerged. The Chazal tell us, our sages tell us, that Hasanezer Ves Ha'idus, another way to understand that is that the crown itself was testimony, because this is the crown that was taken from the head of the king of Ammon when that was the last seat of power that David HaMelech conquered. That was the last one. And when that crown was taken off the head of the king of Ammon. Remember, it was a very heavy crown. No one could wear it. It was too heavy. And it also was shaped funny. David HaMelech was able to wear it. From the time of David HaMelech and on, the only one who could wear the crown that it would fit properly was the king. Anybody else who tried to wear it, it wouldn't fit. It wouldn't be a proper fit. So by putting this on Yehoash's head, it was miraculous, because obviously their heads weren't exactly the same.
He's
7 years old. So by putting it on his head and it fit properly, that was an edus. that was a testimony that he's the right king. So now, Yud Gimel 13, Atishma Asalya es kol haratzin ha'am. So Asalya heard the sound of
happy anointment.
Yeah, I mean the Targum says the dancing of the nation.
The card.
Okay. Vatavo elam beis Hashem. So she wondered what was going on. So she came to the nation, to the Beis Hamikdash. Vatamer, she saw. And the king was standing on the platform according to the regular way. There was a platform there for the king to stand on when he was addressing the nation. And now there's the king. And the sarim, the officers, and the trumpets were trumpeting for the king. And all the people who were around were happy. And were blowing on the trumpets. Vatikra Asalya is bigadel. So Asalya tore her clothing. Vatikra, she called out, Kesher, Kosher, rebellion, rebellion. But she has nobody to help her here. This is Yoyada has arranged it that within the Beis HaMikdash complex, everybody is sympathetic to the king, and no one is sympathetic to Asalya. So Yoyada the Kohen commanded the officers of hundreds and the soldiers. Vayomer aleihem, he said to them, Hotziu osa el mibeis lasteros, remove her from here to the steros, meaning this doesn't mean physically pick her up and take her out. It means, as you'll see in the next pasuk, allow her to run in that direction, meaning towards the palace. Let her, she needs, right now she's running away. She sees that she's in a bad place. So they're going to make it easier for her to run in the direction of the palace, which was a trap, because that's where the main body of the guard was. Anybody who comes after her to try to help her, just kill them. Again, don't ask questions. Just kill them by the sword. Kiyomara Kohen, for the Kohen said, Al Tumas Beis Hashem, don't kill her in the Beis HaMikdash. They could have just killed her right there, but he didn't want to kill her in the Beis HaMikdash, so he let her run towards the palace. Vayasimu lo yadayim, they gave her a place to run. Vatavo derech mavo asusim Beis HaMelech, she came the way of the horses through the stable to the palace. They weren't going to let her go in the regular grand way, where there may have been guards that were sympathetic to her. They didn't let her go through the main gates of the palace. The only path that they allowed her to do was through the stables, and Vatumas Sham, and then appropriately she was killed there in the stables, like a horse. That's where she was killed. Now, the pasuk later is going to say that she was killed again. This is saying that she will be killed there. And she hasn't actually been killed yet, but that's where she will eventually be killed. I guess she was killed. The pasuk is going to repeat it later because it's going to be kind of recapping the story. All right, so we'll see when we get there how to read that. But anyway, Yehoyada then made a covenant with between Hashem and between the king. In other words, he made the king take an oath of allegiance to Hashem, and then Ubein Ha'am, and also between the nation, Lios La'amat La'Hashem, that there should be a nation for Hashem, because the past 6 years, people have been worshipping Avodah Zarah. Ubein HaMelech, Ubein Ha'am, and also he made a covenant between the king and the nation, that they will be faithful to the king. Vayavo Kol Ha'aretz Beis HaBaal, then all of the people came to the house of the Baal, which was thriving under Asalya. Vayititzuhu, and they cut it down. Esmizuchosav, its altars, Veslamav, and its idols, Shibru Hetev, they broke it down very much. They smashed it to smithereens. Veis Matan Kohen Habal, this is a person's name. Matan, who was the Kohen of the Baal, he was the chief Kohen of the Baal, Hargu, they killed him, Lifnei HaMizbachos, in front of the altars. Vayasem HaKohen Pikudos Abeis Hashem, and then the Kohen made Pikudos, which were guards, on the house of Hashem and the Beis HaMikdash. He appointed people that they would now have guards over the Beis HaMikdash. Asalya had removed, part of the protocol of the Beis HaMikdash is that there are guards. Levim and Kohanim that stand in different places overnight to guard the Beis HaMikdash. Asaya had abolished them. So now, Yoyar the Kohen Gadol brings them back. Then he, Yoyada, took the officers of hundreds and the soldiers, and that's the powerful soldiers and the swift soldiers and all of the nation. And they brought the Melech down from the house of Hashem. And he came through the gate of the runners to the palace. Vayeshev al kisei hamelachim, and he sat on the throne of the kings. Vayismach kol ha'am ha'aretz v'yir shakata. All of the Amorites, all the people were happy, and the city became quiet, which means it settled down after all this upheaval. Ve'asayahu hemisu v'acherev beis hamelach, and Asayahu was killed by the sword in the palace itself. They killed her, and that was the end of that. And this, from here, we move into a relative period of quiet and growth and a really wonderful time for the Jewish people under the King Yehoash, who is in turn being advised by the Kohen Gadol Yehoyada, which is a wonderful time. And we'll see that it goes on for a number of years. There will be problems in the end, but right now we're about to enter a period of peace. The in Divrei Hayamim, there's just a little bit added on to the end of the story, which is I'll read it to you. It says that I'll just paraphrase it. It says that Yehoyada took the guards of the Beis Hashem. He put the guards of the house of Hashem in the hands of the Kohanim and the Levim that David had divided up over the house of Hashem to bring Olos, as it says, Kakasu Besonas Moshe, like it says in the Torah of Moshe, Besimcha Uveshir, through joy and through song, Ayide David. That remember, the Levim are supposed to be singing the Tehillim during the service, during the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. So he reinstated that, which apparently was also in, it was not done properly under Asaliah. And it says, "Vayamed Hashoarim al Shari Beis Hashem." He appointed the gatekeepers over the gates of Hashem. For Le'avo Tamei L'chol Davar. Now we know nobody Tamei could come to the Beis Hamikdash. The Levim have two different jobs in the Beis Hamikdash. There are those who are the singers; those are the Mishoririm, and there are those that are the gatekeepers. They are the Shoarim. They're not supposed to do each other's jobs. If you are a Mishorer, you're a singer, then you sing. You do not run, you don't guard at the gates. If you're a shoer, you're a gatekeeper, then you're not a mishore, you're not a singer. The purpose of the gatekeepers was to make sure that nobody who was tamei would enter the Beis HaMikdash. So he reinstated those as well. And then it says in the same idea over here of reinstating the king and the death of Asaliah. Okay, so this is the culmination of the destruction, the complete destruction of the house of Achav, because Asaliah really was the last vestige of the house of Achav. She was from the house of Achav, and she wreaked havoc in the southern kingdom. Now she is gone finally, and now we have the real king back in power, and the line of David HaMelech, which was precariously close to being wiped out, is now back on solid footing. Yehoash is going to marry, have children, and it will move on from there. Okay.
Is she the only queen we've ever had?
There was a queen, at least one queen, in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. In the first Beis HaMikdash, I believe she's it. I believe so.
Is the second one good?
The second one was much better.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Just checking.
The second one is from the Hashmonaim.
She was a Avodah Zorah, and it was all in there, they were still having Shabbos at the temple.
Well, I mean, I don't, when you say having Shabbos, they were,
they still had the Kohanim.
Yehoyada was still running the Beis HaMikdash, so he made it work as best as possible with whatever resources he had and whatever, Asaliah didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash.
She didn't stop them from
doing it. Right. We've had this before, that they're kind of doing everything at the same time. which to us doesn't make any sense, but it was something which was done.
Because, I mean, if she killed all these children and all these things, you'd think she'd just dump all the priests. And,
yeah, but she was, that was for power. Yeah. Which this is, yeah, the, you know, that's the, within the royal family. Now, the David HaMelech, when he wrote Tehillim, of course, it was with Ruach HaKodesh. And the Gemara tells us that David HaMelech foresaw that in the future there would be a time when his line would be precariously close to being wiped out. And that because of that, he davened on behalf of whoever was left in his line, that they should be protected from the destruction. And what did he say? You will be familiar with this pasuk. He said, "Ki itzpineni b'suko b'yom ra'ah," that he will hide me in his sukkah on the evil day. Yastireni b'seser alo, he will hide me in the hidden part of his tent. B'tsuri romameni, he will lift me up on the stone. So Chazal say this is a reference in L'David Hashem Ori, which we say during Elul. This is a reference to Yehoash being hidden in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That David HaMelech here is saying prophetically, he's really davening for it. He's davening that Hashem should protect and hide me, meaning my descendant, on the evil day. He knew that an evil day was going to come, and he davened that whoever was left would be hidden away and protected. Where? In the sukkah of Hashem, in the ohel of Hashem, the tent of Hashem, that would be the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's what it's referring to. In addition to that, this is not as well known a kapitel Tehillim, a chapter of Tehillim. That one, the David Hashem Ori is Chav Zayin, is 27. But back in Yud Beis in 12, in Tehillim Yud Beis, this Tehillim says, "Lamenatzech al Hashminis, Mizmar leDavid, Lamenatzech," to the conductor, "on the 8th, Mizmar leDavid, a song to David." Now, the 8th refers to a particular instrument that had 8 strings. Of course, you can't escape a reference to Bris Milah, which is the 8th day. That's also referenced over here. But it's also a reference to the 8th generation from David HaMelech. What are the generations from David HaMelech? We have from David, you have Shlomo, Rechavam, Aviah, Asa, Yehoshaphat, Yehoram, Ahaziah, Yehoash. The 8th generation from David HaMelech, that here David is davening and foretelling what is going to happen with the 8th generation. And in this kapitel of Tehillim, the next pasuk is pasuk Beis, Hoshia Hashem ki gamar chasid, save Hashem, Hashem, you should save us. Ki gamar chasid, for the pious people are lost. Ki fasu emunim, for those who are faithful have been, are no longer here. Mibnei Adam, from people. They're all gone. The faithful ones are gone. The pious ones are gone. Save us, Hashem. And it goes on to talk about some of the things that happen. So this, Rashi tells us, this Kapitel Yud Beis is a reference to the 8th generation of David HaMelech. He knew that there was going to be trouble at the 8th generation, and therefore he said this Kapitel Tehillim, said the chapter of Tehillim to Davin on behalf of his future progeny. The David HaMelech being aware of all of this is not coincidental. Going back to that whole list of things that we wanted to tie together, I told you that one of the points that was going to still be discussed was the destruction of Nov, the city of the Kohanim. This episode is directly linked to the destruction of Nov, the city of the Kohanim. Why? Because when Nov, the city of Kohanim, was destroyed, only one Kohen escaped. Hashem told David HaMelech that because of your role in the destruction of Nov, even though David was a passive role, he didn't try to destroy the city. He was running away from Shaul, and he ran into Nov in order to protect himself. But unfortunately, Doeg HaAdomi was there and told Lashon Hara about the city. And as a result, Shaul had Doeg kill out the city. Doeg lost his portion of Olam Haba. Shaul and his three sons were killed. But Hashem says to David, there's going to be retribution in your family as well for what happened. David HaMelech, on his Madrig, on his level, there would be retribution. And the Gemara says that just as with Nov, the whole city was destroyed except for one person who escaped, David's line is nearly wiped out except for one person who escapes. Yehoash literally escapes death just as the one Kohen escaped from Nov. And so it's Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure. And therefore, when discussing this more broadly, we have to understand the connection between Nov and here. And it is not coincidental that the David HaMelech's descendant is saved by the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Gadol's wife. But the Kohen Gadol is the one who eventually reinstates the kingdom. So it is coming full circle, where the Kohanim were decimated. Now David HaMelech is decimated and saved and brought back to power by the Kohanim, by the Kohen Gadol. So that's going to be, play a part. It is here that we are going to pause and spend the next several sessions trying to tie up as many of those loose ends as we can. And as I mentioned to you when we first made that list, I'll have to go over the list again with everybody. But as I mentioned to you, it's going to mean from week to week having recollection of what we said the previous week, because it's we can't do it in one sitting. It's just too long. It's too much information, too many pieces to have to fit together. There are various storylines that are coming together over here into this episode. The episode I'm referring to is the incredible destruction that the land of Eretz Yisrael goes through, both in the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, the incredible destruction in the northern kingdom, and then now in the southern kingdom, we brought us out of it. We got through that and back to Yehoash. But during Asaliah's reign of terror, it's a terrible time, north and south, all around Eretz Yisrael. So that is the culmination of many storylines coming together. So we're going to examine those storylines and try to tie up as many of those loose ends as we can.
Thank you.
So,
did he have many children? He
had only
one.
Who did?
Shlomo.
Yeah, but the line of royalty goes only through Rechavam because his mother was Naama the Ammonis. Just as with Rus, with Boaz, Naama is the one who marries Shlomo. She's the main wife, and from her comes the line of the kings, not from anybody else.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.